This morning, as I said, we're reading from 2 Timothy beginning in 1:1. So right at the beginning of that, if you want to follow along. All right. So beginning of 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his very purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought to life immortality and light through the power of the gospel. May God have blessing to our reading and understanding of these words. So I want to say just a little bit about 1 and 2 Timothy as we get started. These are two letters that are attributed to Paul, written to Timothy, who is somebody that he is sort of mentoring. And I love these two books. We'll probably spend some time somewhere down the road going through these two books in a little more depth. But I love these books because of how incredibly personal they are. They're very heartfelt, they're very personal, they're very relational. And I feel like oftentimes when we read the scriptures, they can feel like they're dictated from some separate position, they can feel very impersonal, and you get the exact opposite in this particular, in these texts. So Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, just in what we read today, calls him beloved child. He says, I remember you constantly in my prayers, I recall your tears, and I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. If you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, you would see this same language over and over again, consistently. It's the same sort of spirit, same sentiment all throughout. And so Paul is talking to somebody that he's loved, somebody that he's mentored, somebody that he's invested in, that he's poured himself into. It's very likely that Paul can see things in Timothy that Timothy can't see in himself. Which is significant. Sometimes that happens for us, and I think that's really important. He's also writing to somebody who's newer in the faith and just beginning to sort of bud in his understanding of his own leadership and capacity for influence. And so in this opening section, the heart of what Paul is asking him for is to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. And I think that's sort of what I want to spend a lot of our time today talking about, what that means for us. So let's start by talking about what is the gift of God. In this immediate context, I think Paul is talking about one of two things or two things together. The first one is about the gift of faith. And we understand in the Wesleyan tradition that even to have faith is a gift of God. Sometimes we think of faith as our response to God, which it is, but we believe that we're only empowered to have faith, to make that choice by the prevenient grace of God, the grace that goes before us. So even our faith is a gift of God. Part of what Timothy is being told here is to rekindle that faith, that gift of God. The other piece is the unique experiences, talents, the things that we more often think of gifts, the skill sets, the resources that Timothy has to rekindle those gifts for the sharing and the blessing of others. Paul says, rekindle the gift of God that is within you. And this week, as I was reading this, truthfully, I was thinking about when I look at the world, how much of God's good grace and mercy needs to be rekindled. And I was feeling that in my heart. And it's because there's so much hurt and disappointment and division and difficulty in the world. There's so many people hurting. And I think all of that sort of weighed on me. And as I read that, I just kept getting caught on that phrase over and over about how I myself need to experience that. I could use some of that in my soul. And I want us to think about sort of the metaphor that Paul is using here and to think about it in its original context. So rekindling, right, is about what we do with fires, bringing something from embers and bringing it back to a full flame. And so if you put yourself in first century, where Paul is writing, you would have had sort of an ongoing fire all the time that was outside of somebody's house. And that's where you gathered for cooking and cleaning. And it's likely that there were meals that were happening there. And whereas we may have a fire in the backyard or a campfire or something like that, when we're done with it, we're going to put it out. For them in that time, that wouldn't have been something that you would have done. At the end of the night, you would have allowed the fire to sort of smolder or through the afternoon. And then in the morning, you would have rekindled it. You would have started it again. You don't dump water on it because water is a scarce resource. And that means the next day when you're rebuilding it, you're building on sort of a wet surface. And so this is sort of a central hub of their life and a regular experience for anybody in that time. I want to just make a couple of observations about this. First of all, that means that there was work for them to do each and every day. There was effort, there was intention, there was some required focus in order to do this task. I remember the first time when I was a Boy Scout that I was supposed to sort of bring a fire that had kind of died out back to life or whatever you want to call it. I remember that I was down on the ground blowing on it, and an older Boy Scout came with one of those big Tupperware lids, and he was like, get out of the way. And he just started doing this, which was far more efficient, but it still took a long time. I think it's important because this is work. Paul is saying, like, do the investment, do the work. This is a task. And sometimes we think that whether we inherit a faith and we sort of grow up in faith, or if we can point to a moment where our faith changed or we experienced it for the first time, that sometimes that should be enough to sustain us for life. And the truth is that, like anything worth having in life, it's going to require investment and focus and intention. It's going to require our work. There is a task that's involved, and Paul is imploring Timothy to put the work in, to focus on it, so that it may be sustained. The second thing that I want to say that's maybe a little different from our context is if we sort of expand this metaphor or dive into it a little bit deeper, this fire is something that has continuity to it. The fire that somebody used, because it's not put out and started over the next day, day after day, basically the fire that they're using today is the same one they were using yesterday, and it's the same one they'll use tomorrow. And what was there last week is what will be there next week and next month and next year. There is this continuity because you're not stopping and starting over. It changes forms, it smolders, it turns to embers, it burns brightly, but there's a continuity to what's going on. Day after day, year after year, we continue to build on this same foundation, on this same fire, so that we can continue. This is the work that Paul is calling Timothy into, and that's the image that we're given. That this gift we've received, we are to invest in it on a daily basis and realize there is this continuity in what you have received, Timothy, and what we have received as followers of Christ today, and that we'll pass on to other generations. So let's look back at Paul and Timothy and that original gift of faith. Where did that come from? Somewhere along the line in Timothy's life, Paul shows up and begins to invest in and mentor him and sort of guide him and direct him and does some of that kindling, some of that building of the fire. But before there was Paul, there was Eunice, and that's Timothy's mother. And before there was Eunice, there was Lois. That's Timothy's grandmother. We read about that. I'm reminded of the sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. It's because of this that I think about this passage every year at Mother's Day. I love thinking about this idea of a faith that passes from one generation to the next, that can be kindled and something that sustains not only one generation, one person, but can be sustaining for people who come after us. This is probably one of the good things that we can inherit from our parents. Maybe you grew up with parents who modeled that for you, or maybe you didn't. But I think we should celebrate that, because if we're being honest, there are some things that we inherit from our mothers that we're maybe not always as excited about, right? Can we say that on Mother's Day? Is that allowed? Have you said something recently and all of a sudden been like, that was my mother. I heard her come out of my own mouth. Sometimes we get things from our parents that we don't intend to. Maybe you are excessively frugal. Maybe that's a gift that your mother gave to you, or maybe you have a temper, or maybe I have inherited from my father bad dad jokes, and they're growing in this particular season of my life. Maybe you find yourself, like you see yourself in a mirror one day, and you're like, who, what? Who put that on me? And why did I raid my parents' wardrobe? I don't know. There's things like that. I love those commercials from Progressive that are like, we can't help you from becoming your parents, right? So true. It's funny because we've all been there. But that happens in joking ways. That happens in serious ways. I remember having a conversation with somebody who was having he had come to a difficult time in a relationship with a girlfriend at the time. And he said, I just feel like as I get older, I see more and more of the dysfunction of my parents' relationship and my relationship. We see that happen. And so there are things that we loathe that we get from our parents, and there are things that we love. But there's a lot of things that get passed on from generation to generation. Sometimes, maybe if you're a parent, you think, I don't want to pass on XYZ to the next generation. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. When I look at Gunner, our dog, I'm glad that she got my looks and Hope's personality, and I think that works really well for us. So this morning, though, I just want to, these are the sort of the three big questions that I want you to think about. Number one, what is it that you have inherited from your family? What's one thing you appreciate and one thing that you could do without? And let's come back more to the point of what Paul is talking about. When you think about the faith that you have right now, however you would define that, whether it's strong or weak or you're not sure where it's at, in what ways does it look similar to the context that you grew up in? And in what ways does it look different? And then a third question is, as you think about what you will pass on to people that you're related to in generations after you, whether that's related by blood or people that you invest in or kids that you mentor or people that gather in our faith community or in our broader community, what are the things that you hope to pass on for the future people that come after you? And this last piece is so important. And again, I think especially on this Mother's Day, it's worth reflecting on that anytime we read this passage, we're reminded about this task that we have of rekindling faith so that it can be passed on to those after us. It's not just about acknowledging the gift within us. It's also about helping those after us see the gift that is within them. It's not just about rekindling the gift for those that we know, but it's also for those that we haven't met. And when we fan into flame, it's not only for the people in the church now, but for the blessing of the world at large. Part of the question that this text asks us is, how do we remain faithful, not only for the sake of our own selves and our own souls and our own well-being, but for those who will come after us? So what does this look like? How do we do this work? How do we rekindle the gift of God that is within us? Paul lays out a few things in this passage. He talks about, I pray for you constantly. It's probably not surprising that a prayer life is going to be a part of that process. It's a practice that's going to sustain our faith, that's going to remind us of the gifts that we have. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean it always comes naturally, but I think it's something that helps grow us in faith and that we're called to do. Paul talks about not being ashamed. And maybe this is a challenge for us to share hope and grace, to invite other people into an experience of God. I know sometimes that feels uncomfortable or intimidating to us, but I think it's one of the ways that the fires of our faith grows. Paul talks about suffering for the gospel, and this is language that is wrought with really bad interpretation, particularly in our culture, and a lot of martyr complexes, and there's a lot that we could unpack here, but in short, I want to say just this for today, that we are asked for the sake of God's mission and purpose in the world, for the sake of sharing good news, for the sake of those who are vulnerable, we're asked to give of ourselves in ways that if we take it seriously will cost us. It will, I believe, lead us into deeper waters, but it will also require us to sacrifice if we take it seriously. Those are three things that sort of come out of just the 10 verses that we read today. I think other ways that we do this are gathering in community, gathering for worship, or seeing one another, looking into the faces of each other and recognizing joy and pain. The practice of gathering is one way that we rekindle that faith, that gift that we have. We do it by growing in our understanding of God. Maybe that comes through small groups, through devotion, whatever it is, however it is that you engage that theology. The definition of it is faith seeking understanding. I like that idea. What are the things that we do to grow? What are the people that we learn about Christian life from and with? What does that journey look like? The last thing that I'll say is by serving others, working for justice, resisting evil, acts of mercy, listening to those who are hurting, amplifying the voices of those who are in most need, working for justice and equity. That's a part of how our faith grows. These are some of the things that we can do to maintain that, to rekindle the fire. And again, maybe you say, I didn't inherit much of a faith. Maybe you came about it some other way, not through your family. Or maybe you think, I don't have an especially strong faith right now. I think wherever we're at on this journey, if you're not sure what you believe or where you're at, if you're not sure how you came to be in the place that you are right now, if you ended up at Common Grace because you took a wrong turn at Ridgeview today, I'm grateful that you're here. But however we're intended, however we are in the world, I think these same practices help us get to what God intends for us to be as we relate to our neighbors. In Timothy's case, this faith came through his mother and his grandmother. They were the ones who provided the spark and sort of kindled that fire for him. And if you look through the history of the church, you'll find over and over again that it was women who often did this. If we can zoom out from moms for just a minute, you go back to the tomb. Who's the first evangelist? It's a woman. Who were the people that funded Jesus' ministry? It's women. Who are the people that funded Paul's ministry? It was women. Again, over and over and over again from the beginning, it's been women who have kindled and rekindled and rehabbed and saved the faith from generation to generation. And their names often aren't written in our history books, which I know is shocking to everybody, but they're often the ones who have shaped who we are. If you look at the Methodist movement in America, from the time it began, it was very often a story of men in conflict with one another over some very important things and many unimportant things, while women were in the background, either quietly or quite loudly, feeding the poor, carrying the gospel into foreign nations, carrying it on the frontier, meeting the needs of people in the cities, developing schools, doing those sorts of things over and over and over again. And so we sort of see this repeat itself throughout history. The women are often leading the charge for this, and that's true for Timothy, that's true for the early church, that's true for our Methodist movement, that's true in this community. We see that happen time and time again. And so Paul is reminding Timothy that faith, whether he came to it by his family, or however you came to it, I think Paul is also reminding us to rekindle that, to lean into that, and to lean into the life of mercy that God has provided to each one of us. So I said at the beginning, when I think about everything that's going on in the world, I feel tired, not from too much work or too little sleep or too much to do, though there's some of that, but I think there is a weariness from all of the hurting that I see around us, from abuses of power, from war that continues, from the ways that we value some and devalue others, the ways that we see division and difficulty and all of this, it leaves me tired. And so I need to be reminded this day to rekindle the gift of grace that is within me. But I also think that it's not just something that I can do for myself. Sometimes we need other people to remind us of that gift, that first and foremost, the gift that we have is an act of God, and that first and foremost, the gifts that we have are not for ourselves, they're for the blessing of the world. The sort of middle part of our reading today, Paul says that we don't have a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-discipline, and sometimes that's harder for me to identify. Anyway, when we find ourselves in difficult times like that, I think it's good to be reminded about the faith that we've inherited and about the constancy of that faith. Because, again, we look at the troubles of the world and we think, like this is
There's not enough. I don't have enough to give. I don't have enough to fix it. Or we're just going in such a wrong direction. What I find comfort in this passage is this idea that it passes from generation to generation. We're not the first people to struggle with this. We're not the first people to wonder. We didn't invent the faith. It doesn't die in one generation and get rebuilt and die and get rebuilt. That there is this message that for centuries has been burning. And sometimes it's looked like a bonfire and sometimes it's looked like embers. But it's passed on from generation to generation that we inherit that we're a part of the same story. Paul says in his writing today, I'm grateful to God whom I worship just as my ancestors did. And then at the end of it, he says that Christ Jesus has been working, the grace of Christ Jesus that has been since before the ages began and has been revealed to us in the gift of Jesus in this day. There is this continuity and this continuous nature of this faith that we inherit and that we get to share with generations after us. And I need to be reminded of that when I find myself in those difficult seasons, when I find myself tired and weary with all of the hurt that exists in the world. So I said earlier during our prayer time that I don't know how Mother's Day hits you this year or any. I don't know if you're in that place where you're feeling great comfort and joy and contentment. Again, we bless you and know that you don't have to temper your gratitude in any way. And if you're experiencing something different, disappointment or grief or failure, we bless you. You don't need to temper that either. You don't need to pretend like this means a lot to you if this day doesn't, if it's not even on your radar, or if you're complicated or somewhere in the midst of that, that's okay. Wherever you are on the spectrum, though, this is why this is important. What I don't want us to miss is that each and every one of us has a gift within us to share. A woman or man, mom or not, excited or hurting, all of us are called to share in the same message to rekindle the gift that is within us. Each one of us has a gift to be shared with the world that will make an impact that gets passed from generation to generation and will be passed on to the next generations. It may come in formal ways or in informal ways. It may come through a parental relationship. It may come through something different. But what is certain is that each one of us is uniquely gifted and called, and we can have an impact on the generations that come after us. So on this day, friends, I pray that the faith that you have and your experience of grace may be rekindled within you, that you may be reminded of those that are on the journey next to you that you can pour into, that you can shape and that you can confirm, that you can speak life into, that you can share with and nurture and encourage. And my hope is that for each one of us, that the outcome of our care would be that those who come behind us would inherit a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, that in their lives they may come to see the gift that is within them and continue to pass from generation to generation the good news of Jesus Christ. May it be so for each one of us. Amen.